Okay, we're at Pompano Beach.
You're right about that.
All right, so you had
Baker's Place, yes.
And then you were just playing with the jukebox
there. I played along with the jukebox when I felt like it. I had a chance to.
What about this group, the Swing Masters? Was that the first band you had?
No. Yes, it was. Yes. All right. Now let's come back to this now. By me going out, taking my customers, and we'd ride down to a place called Library. That's out there, the back of Hollywood. It's a little black club out there called the Dipsy Doodle. I used to go in there, and they had a band there. I used to walk in it. And long in that time, there was only three guitarists on this whole East Coast, I would say. Or at least from Delray back down to Miami. There's only three of us guitar. A fella named Bobby Sands, a friend of mine. Alex Stevenson, a friend of mine. And myself. We was the three guitarists. And hey, Strong. Hey, boy.
Wait a minute.
Anyhow, I'd go down where they were playing to the Dipsy Doodle, and they asked me to just sit in with them. I'd sit in and play it, and that was the show then, because the guitar already was a sensational instrument then, because there wasn't many around, just the three of us. And the leader of the band, he taken sick. Now, in order for them to hook me in, they made me the leader of the band. Remember now, I'm the last guy went into the band. But they made me the leader of the band. And from there on, I start moving. And we went to Delray. Start playing up there in a club up there. A millionaire on that club, Mr. Clement. We started playing up there and packing his house. I mean, we packed that house. There's a mighty few name that he would let come into that club. In fact, that's when I first met Ray Charles. Ray Charles hadn't yet made a recording. I met him then and told him, I said, man, you're good enough to be on, to do some recording. I said, I have a band. So my band is nowhere near your band. And he said, well, he had some things in mind to do. And he thought he was going to go off to himself.
Tell me a little bit about these clubs. Would you get mostly local people that would come? Would you have tourists?
What do you mean local people?
I mean people who lived, say, in Delray or Fort Lauderdale that would come
to these clubs. All right. I'll put it this way. When I played the Ben's Place in Hallandale, there used to be, from time to time, those long-bodied trucks. What do you call those trucks?
Semis?
I guess so. Anyhow, they'd come all the way from Key West. They'd come from down Key West around Friday night, be there for Saturday. If they come Saturday, they'd be there for Saturday night and go back to Key West. They used to come all the way up there. And so now you can understand how Henry Stone got the message, because my name had began to moving around from section to section. Anybody come through and yet, that's the way it is. And I'm ready to say, and this is right now, 1985. But you know, that's the same thing happened now. We got a lot of people come in, they hear me playing, they hear my band playing. And right away they say, well, where are y'all from, New Orleans? I says, no. He says, Miami. Oh, no, Miami? Yes. So that's it. Well, I give them what I got. I give them what God give me to give the people. That's it.
Tell me about playing in the Apollo Club in Harlem. You won an amateur contest?
Yes, I did. 1943, I remember that.
You got one, all right. Hey. Well, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I just got up there and won the doggone thing. Got up there singing, and a friend of mine, like I said, named C.L. Hartfield. He's from Live Oak as well. He idolized me and he followed me every place I went. And we used to do the Ink Spots number. Matter of fact, Bill Kenny, the Ink Spots was on program that week. They see that when they go into Apollo, you had a week or 2 weeks. And Kenny was on, and we went and asked his consent to do the one of his songs. Yes, we can do it. And we stole the show and won the contest.
Were you singing one of your own songs? Or you were doing Ink Spots?
Please. I just said.
I'm sorry.
Bill Kenny, the Ink Spots, was on that week. We had to get their permission to do a...
But you didn't sing any of your own songs
No. You go on an amateur program, you're going to do one song and get away from there. That's the whole... Well, you've never been around that thing, huh?
No, I haven't, but I would think you'd
want... Well, you're learning that.
Something new today, I'll tell you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. But I would think you'd want to sing at some point your own
stuff. It doesn't matter what you want to do.
Oh.
You're going to have to get up there and do it and get off. Because they have other people coming.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way it is.
You won it, though, that
yes,
night?
Yes, and I was offered job, and I made the announcement that I didn't want no job. Look here. Love was the boss. And my lady said, my wife at the time told my ex-wife, told me, she said, look, we are going back to Pompano. You know what created that? In the afternoon, see, I had a day job working for C.B. Long Carpet Cleaners in New York City. And I liked that job because the scenery, going all over the city, it meant very educational. I used to know New York City is good or better than I do Pompano, Live Oak, or Miami. Because we went everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'd come in the afternoon and start playing and singing the guitar, and all those apartment buildings, all the girls, the pretty girls, the ugly girls, and whatnot would be hollering out, play that again. No. My wife couldn't put up with that. So she would shut the thing off, pull the shades down, that was it. Then she said, well, we are going home. Going back home. Okay. Then the people the next day would see me coming out on my way to work, they would be, say, why don't you go to the Apollo Theater? I said, no, I don't really care to go. It wasn't that, it was, I had to try to please my wife. And so, we made up our mind to come back south. I said, now when I go back, I'm going to go in business. I said, but before I leave you, I said, the people say that I'm afraid to go to the Apollo Theater. I says, I wants to play. I want to go down and play. When I lose, I says, we still go home. But the two of us, me and the Hartfield, we went there, my partner, and we won the contest. After talking with the Ink Spot, their manager, they give us the right to do it. And we did the number of the Ink Spot, we three. And my partner, he could falsetto just like Bill Kenny. And in that audience then was Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Robinson, a number of the artists was there, big name. Bojack. All that bunch was there. We won the contest. Job. I don't want no job. And believe it or not, after I got back home that night and going to bed, somebody was there buzzing the bell. Offered me cars. Come, I got a job for you. Came back to Pompano, went back to my drugstore job. Opened me up a place of mines. Did a good business. I was able to build a home out of it. We was able to build us a little home, paid for it, spot cash, boom.
So you worked had a drugstore as well as your music.
Sure. You couldn't make it on no one hustle back there like that.
When did you move to Miami?
I'll tell you when I moved to Miami. My ex-old lady unloaded me in 1949, and before that, right around the end of that time, it must have taken me 2 weeks to tell my mother that I wasn't going to bother, wasn't going to put the weight of my hand on her. Because I saw it was worrying my mother, and I never worried my mother. Never. So I told her, I said, okay, Mom, don't worry about it anymore. I said, I don't care what they do. If they want to perform an act, they can come right here and do it. I wouldn't bother. And my mother's face lit up with the most beautiful smile you could see. I knew then she was, that was it. So, I knew the writing was on the wall because she unloaded me for another guy. Now I got to do something. And what I had to do, and I had to do it in a hurry. And I don't believe in a lot of lies. I don't like lies because I wasn't brought up that way. Didn't I tell you how God Almighty punished me about that lie I told my mother when I was 16?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't lie to her no more after that. Didn't care what it was, the police could come and say whatever she did. So she said, no, he didn't. But I asked him and he told me he didn't do it. Or yes, he did. That was it. And I got to say the same thing about the people of Pompano Beach on both sides of the track, the black and the white. That's what they knew me as. Fellow with a word, a man with a word. I consider if you got a word, you're a man or woman. You could be 8 years old if you got know how to come up and confess the truth or deliver the truth, then you are a woman to me, or a man. And that's what I did.
So you've been here in Miami since about
1950.
1950.
Came into Miami the last of...
Have you been in this house since then? Or?
No. I've lived 2-3 different places. One while I was staying with my sister when I first came to town. And God bless her, my wife right there, Dorinda. That's Miss Baker. She had a couple of cousins working over to a furniture store. And everything worked out all right. I went to work over the furniture store with them. Eventually, their wives unloaded them.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to tease one another every day about these things. So, well, I saw Miss Baker last night, or I saw Miss Coley last night. See, teasing around us. And so they kept on talking about this thing. That's after I had cut my first recording.
Mm-hmm.
I still was working over there with them. Now Stone built the studio. I quit working for the furniture store to go to work to the studio as shipping clerk for Stone. And but just before I quit, the boys, we got teasing one another about wives who they saw last night. And I said, no, I said, I talked with my wife last night. But I can't tell you just how I told him, oh, you're so-and-so and so-and-so, what kind of liar you was. And but I was with her last night, I talked with him. And she told me to come back home. Now, I wrote a song of that. I'm going back home. They kept teasing me about going back home. I says, I can write a song with that. I said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. I'm going back home. When the sun goes down, baby, I'll be on my way. You want to hear a little of that?
Sure,
on the
sure.
Tape? Well, you better stop it. Stop the tape now.
Going back home.
You still got it running? That's a lot of space taken up there. Come from.
And I'm going back. back home. Going back home today. Yes, I'm going back home. Going back home today. When the sun goes down, baby, I'll be on my way. I haven't had no fun, had no loving at all. Ooh, I haven't had no fun, had no loving at all. Yes, when I get home, me and my baby shoes gon' play. Waiting for my train to come. When my train comes in, you can bet I'm gonna hop that boat.
Well, that's the story of this. Now, this is what happened when I went back home. This is it. The answer to this piece, here it is. This is what happened when I went back home.
Well, I went back home. I went back home to stay. I went back home, I went back home to stay. When I got home, my baby had gone away. And I tried so hard to stay. Said I tried so hard, I tried so hard to stay. But my baby had gone, the blues wouldn't let me stay. So I grabbed my hat, I grabbed my traveling shoe. Said I grabbed my hat, I grabbed my traveling shoe. Down the road I went, but the blues I couldn't lose.
Stacks of them. Did you record for various companies?
No. I worked with Henry Stone.
There are a bunch of different labels, though. I was looking at the records we just played.
Sure,
yeah.
You know why?
Why?
He kept switching labels.
Okay, so all your recordings...
That wasn't none of my fault.
All your recordings were made here locally, then? All these ones?
Yeah, sure. If you remember at the beginning of the story, I was telling you, I believed that I was the first black recorder
to record
here,
right. But I thought maybe you recorded with other people. So all your recordings that you've done were recorded through Henry Stone and his...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the famous Midnighters, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, I wrote a tune for those boys. Open up the back door. I want to make a little creep. I don't want no one to know. Hurry up, little girl. You know I can't stay all night. The other man may come, and I didn't come here to fight. Mm-hmm. Now, they did that on my...
Are there other groups that have recorded your songs then, or?
No, he's about the only one.
Uh-huh.
The Midnighters. And they're famous, a big name group.
Right.
Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
I've heard of them. Is there anything that you would say that's special about the way you write the blues or sing the blues or play?
I put myself in it, that's all. I put myself in it.
Is there something, you know, that you were known for particularly, or something that you think makes you different than other blues players?
Well, I'm doing it from experience.
Mm-hmm.
Inward feeling, and it's an experience that I'm doing. And for some reason, I just never wanted to feel big. I think this big thing is a fake, it's a phony, you become to be a phony. I want to feel good, and I really feel good when I can please people. That's it.
Have you copyrighted your songs?
Yes, I got copyrights up there.
Through?
Yeah.
About how many?
I belong to them. Let me show you something. To do this, on account of Stone changed names. I don't wear the man come. I don't wear... He's a friend of Lucifer's or what? You know? Just look at the recordings I have back there. Those I played is C.B. Baker, C.W. Baker, and all kind of things like this. Now, why? And he had a contract at the time, W.C. Baker.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't get it straight, huh?
Well, he could have gotten it straight. He's trying to do this gypsy thing, you know.
About how many recordings, you say there are more than these, about how many songs would you say that you've written that...
I don't know. All I know, I did quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got quite a bit. Now, I got a lot of unpublished stuff.
Uh-huh. You still writing?
Yeah.
But you haven't
you
been...
Shut that down a minute.
Tell me about your latest band, the Dixieland Co-ops. How long have they been around?
Oh, I have some members in that band with me anyway. 15 and 20 some odd years.
But so you've known some of those guys that long, and you've been
knowing some of them. They worked with me that long for me.
And you've been playing in various clubs here in Miami, or?
I've always made long stands, too.
Is Tobacco Road an old club?
I would say yes. Once you get there, you can see it look like...
I mean, have you played there for a long time, or is it
No, just recently.
Uh-huh.
And I just went in there to do a couple of nights.
Uh-huh. Did you play in... Well, like the Olympia Theater before it turned into the Guzman Hall, did you play in those kind of theaters, or were they mostly, I heard there was a lot of clubs on 72nd Street. Did you play in any of those, or where would you have been playing?
Where are you talking about?
Here in Miami.
No. 72nd Street?
79th Street. Sorry, 79th.
Yes. I played for High Yucatel's Place for Steak, the late High Yucatel. I better use that, because he passed in December. And I had a 2 weeks contract with 2 weeks notice on either party. And I stayed there for 9 years. And didn't care where he had his party, he wanted this band. Now you gotta remember there was two bands going full all through the week. He offered me six nights, but I turned it down. Every year he'd offer me six nights. Not once, two or three times per year. But me definitely, I love the man, although there's always somebody gonna say something bad about you. I learned that. My mother told me this years ago. She said, son, who are you? Who am I for people to speak bad about or speak good? So you never stop that. But that don't stop you, she says, from not doing as much right as you possibly can. She said, don't you know that? She said, don't you know that they nailed Christ to the cross? Mm-hmm. And he was a good man. The best man walked the face of the earth. So.
Well, with the co-ops, how did you make the switch from blues to Dixieland? I mean, they're not.
Well, I don't know. I would say it had a lot to do with after I got my fingers all busted up in a car door.
What instrument do you play now? Bass?
The electric bass.
But you can't do all the lead stuff that you used to do?
No, I can't do that no more. And that worries me and worries a lot of my friends. And I haven't a guitar yet. Maybe I'll go to work, try to clean out a place back there in my storehouse and work a while back there with it. See if I can come back up with something.
So when you had the accident, you switched into the bass?
I was had beginning to play a little bass then. And I wasn't quite strong enough then to come out and play bass alone and leave the guitar home. But after this, that encouraged me then to play more bass, stick with that. And I know the thing, we had this style, a Dixieland style.
And was that something you just heard all along? You wouldn't have heard Dixieland here in Miami, certainly, would you?
I think, you know something, God's got so many ways of handling people. So I thank God for it. That's I'll have to put it that way. Sometimes little accidents can create other things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. Turned the whole pattern around for us. And by having guys of guys caliber, the guys that I have, talent, I'm blessed. Well, sure, we have little snappy words at one another that the kids should be doing, but we wind up doing our work. And we don't create this hate thing and so forth like that.
But the co-ops don't do your tunes now, is that right? You do other people's?
No, that's all, yes, right. We just, in fact, they never have done. Not that they can't do them because they are sample tunes, and I don't, sure they can do them, but we just never got around to doing it. Because another thing, I can't play bass and sing. I can play guitar and sing, used to, but I can't play bass and sing. And the clubs we go into, they don't want to give me a bass player. If they give me a bass player, I would, I'd sing me some blues for a while. Yes.
So you've been with the co-ops, you've been playing with them about 15 or 20 years, is
no,
that?
No, they've been playing with me.
All right, I'm
now
sorry.
Now you got the story straight.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way it goes, that's
okay.
It. I have one guy in there, the drummer. Very nice guy, but very talented. Now you're talking about a guy loaded with talent, he's got it. He writes songs as well. But you know something, we've never taken time to try to put anything together. Maybe if we come up with the right contract, well, sure, we could do it. Oh, just like that.
Well, I've not yet heard you with the co-ops. I will this weekend. But describe to me some of the tunes that you do. Do you do like the Preservation Hall, or
We do something like Basin Street Blues, and some of the New Orleans type of jazz stuff. We do that. We do a lot of nostalgia stuff, and occasionally we come right down front, in the top 20, and do, you know, or top 40, and do one or two of those.
And
like All Night Long or things like that.
Are some of these then songs that you have sheet music for, or do you?
Some.
Do you read music?
Yeah, but I'm the slow reader. There's a lot of stuff I can't read.
Do you then hear songs from the radio or records, or where do you get your material?
I'll set up and write my stuff off from a record. I'll take it from a record. See? Just like I used to do years ago when I told you I ran my place in Pompano, played guitar along with that, with a jukebox.
Well, I'm running out of questions. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
I don't know. I got so much.
No, are we getting near the end?
I'll tell you one thing I'd like to know. What you want to say, babe? Huh? That's my wife there.
Told me she used to go with you.
She certainly did.
She hadn't been for about 10 years.
She certainly did. She used to go every night. And by me being older than she is, having experienced some with women, I knew too, if I tried to stop her, that just make her determined to go more.
Mm-hmm.
See, because already she was pointing fingers at me about different girls, and it wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I knew then, I said, if I try to stop her, this wasn't going to happen. So I let her be self-convinced. And that's what happened. She got self-convinced.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stopped going to that club, just stopped. The only thing she hadn't stopped, that is loving me. Isn't that right, babe?
That's the most important thing.
Yes. I do believe this, and I'm satisfied with it. I'm sure that's the right.